Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Thank you very much indeed for that. Well, you heard it there in the headlines. The Fine Gael TD Ciarán Cannon has announced that he won't contest the next general election, blaming a toxicity in politics, in part at least. In a statement, he said, "There was a coarseness, a toxicity in politics now that was barely palpable 20 years ago." He also said that none of us asked to be put on a pedestal or to be treated any differently. We just asked to be treated with the same civility and respect as anyone else doing their job. So is Ciarán Cannon right? Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Dr. Teresa Reedy, who's senior lecturer in the Department of Government and Politics at UCC, and by the chair of the Green Party, Senator Pauline O'Reilly. You're both very welcome to the programme. To you first, Teresa Reedy, on this one, if I may. There's a turnover. Is there anything different here? Because there is a turnover at every election. There's an awful lot of people who walk off the pitch and say, I'm done. Is this any different?
It's starting to look a little bit different from previous elections. So the numbers vary a little bit over time, but 20 TDs retired in 2016, 18 in 2020, and we're already at kind of 17 people who've announced their retirement from public life, and the election hasn't been called yet, and it's probably at least 6 months away at this stage. Now, the big exception were 36 people retired from politics in 2011, a lot of them Fianna Fáil TDs who were departing the scene in the kind of the midst of the economic crisis. But, you know, I think there is something that's a little bit different happening at the moment. The kind of research tells us a couple of things about why people leave politics, you know, before retirement age, you know, limited ability to influence policy or poor career promotion opportunities. But this time around, we have a significant number of kind of mid-career people who really seem to be done with public life, and quite a number, especially women in current political life, are talking about the hostility that politicians face and they're citing it as, you know, a significant factor in their decision making, whether they're deciding to continue in political life or leave public life.
Okay, it's interesting you mention Fianna Fáil there and the number of Fianna Fáil TDs who retired in 2011. They were in power, weren't they, that party, for a long time, since 1997. And I wonder, could the same argument not be made here of Fine Gael, who've been in power since 2011? It's a long time in politics, as it were. And when you're in government, there's an awful lot of focus on what you did or didn't do. And that comes with an awful lot of pressure.
I mean, I think to some extent that probably, it probably is true. They are seeking a fourth term in office, and quite a number of the people who are leaving the party are, you know, their middle career. Some of them have been ministers, and they've also served in a period that we might call perma-crisis. Okay, they came in, they had to deal with the economic crash in 2011, and then there was Brexit, which is a bit of a convulsion. It kind of turned a little limp towards the end, but it was still a significant moment. And then they had COVID hit, and they had to manage the pandemic. So there has been, it has been a difficult decade in political life. But I mean, I think while it's possible to explain why it's happening, that does not diminish the scale of the problem that it poses for the party, because incumbency really matters a lot also in Irish politics. It's a huge advantage to be a TD when you're seeking to stay as a TD. And so when a party is losing, you know, up to a third of its politicians, it's really kind of got a significant disadvantage going into the election.
Well, I suppose
if I was going to give you a silver lining, sorry, Cormac, the only thing I would tell you is there is a 40% gender quota that's going to apply to all the parties, and retirements, you know, they take incumbents off the field, which is a problem, but they do leave spaces that perhaps might be available to female candidates. But given the context of our conversation, it just speaks to how hard it will be to encourage women into politics.
Yeah, and I suppose Fine Gael, like all the other parties and none, are saying that they're getting their teams in order now and that they, there's an awful lot of interest. That's what they all say, isn't that right? Let me bring in, stay with me, Teresa, if you can for a second. Let me bring in Pauline O'Reilly of the Green Party. Do you agree or not with Ciarán Cannon, Pauline, when he says that, look, there's a coarseness, a toxicity in politics now that wasn't there 20 years ago?
Yeah, look, it's a topic that many people ask me about, and I rarely agree to speak about it, because I think that we all talk about it as politicians. In fact, we've had private briefings with the Gardaí who say that abuse is underreported, massively underreported by politicians. And I think that that would certainly be my experience. I do think that Ciarán's correct, and I work very closely with Ciarán. We're both Galway-based, and we agree on many points. There might be things that you disagree with, but I'm in politics for a relatively short period of time. I'm in politics for 5 years, and I've certainly noticed a change in that length of time. I think people probably don't realise the extent of the abuse, and it, you know, it runs from you know, private messages that are really, really offensive, or threats of physical violence, sexual violence, to just like a daily kind of constant level of abuse.
And
for most part, people in person, most people in person, I just wanted to say, are absolutely lovely. Like, you know, politicians are regular people who have relationships in their communities, usually go into politics because they have been working in their community trying to achieve things and feel, well, you know, maybe politics is the best way. So I would just like to say that. But, you know, it only takes one or two people to actually shift the kind of sense of fear that people have.
Can I ask you about the threats, right? Because I spoke with a councillor from Wicklow last week about a recent survey, and he was saying that the abuse is happens face to face as well, in real life, let's say. How widespread are or how consistent would the threats be, Pauline?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the threats are probably something that we all need to be a lot more worried about. Mostly I will get, you know, if I get online abuse, I might see the person in the street and it would be like butter wouldn't melt. But you would definitely get, definitely being followed, you know, by people. And but I think I'm just thinking, you know, in the broader sense about all the political parties that I have definitely, nearly every political party will report that they've had to close their offices or that they're fearful for their staff and that there will be somebody constantly coming and threatening. Yeah. But, you know, I think for me, and the reason I decided to come on and speak about it is because I think it's actually, it has an impact on our democracy, you know, and whatever about the individual politician, we need to make sure that we have people coming forward to run for politics that feel that it's, you know, it's not something that they, you know, they're
can't
taking
do.
Their
but that's
yeah,
a very
that
noble
do,
that's
yeah.
a noble very noble aspiration. But if you're being if you're a family member and if you're being followed in some sort of nefarious way, the obvious response from a relation would be, what are you doing? Just get out of it. You don't need to do this job.
Yeah, and I think you do weigh things up. I mean, you weigh things up anyway, and you have to feel like the reason that you're in politics is very, very important for the future, and that brings you through. But I think, you know, for me, part of my role is to find people to run for election and to keep people in there. And there are definitely people who are making decisions not to run again. And there are definitely people based on this. And there are definitely people who think twice about running. But they, you know, they feel that the benefits outweigh the personal impacts.
And we could talk to any party right across the divide. We have done, actually, on this programme about this issue. If you're talking to prospective candidates, though, Pauline, they say to you, well, if I am threatened or if I am abused, is there support from the party or is there support from the guards or what level of security is there?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I mean, certainly from our party, there is support and from the Gardaí as well. I mean, they will put flags on houses of politicians, for instance. But there's a task force now at the moment. Noreen O'Sullivan is heading that in the Oireachtas with a number of recommendations that will come from that. We've all been surveyed, as indeed have staff members. Don't forget that there's the, you know, the threats in relation to staff members working in offices to bring forward suggestions. And so I do think a lot more has to be done. Okay. I really do. But I think it's a broader issue that we need to discuss as a society about, you know, what's acceptable and what's not, and how it's impacting on democracy.
Let me bring Teresa Reedy back in here and put a text to you, Teresa, from Mary, who says she's a nurse in Dublin 14. She says, there's toxicity everywhere, Cormac. When I started as a nurse, I was never or rarely verbally abused by a member of the public. It happens regularly now, as does physical abuse. This is not only a politician's problem, says Mary.
I mean, that may well be the case. It may be that this is something that affects groups that are facing the public or interacting with the public on a regular basis. But I think specifically we have to talk about this as a grave threat to Irish democracy, because as Pauline was outlining there, it is affecting the way people interact with our political system. You know, people are closing their constituency offices. They're limiting their clinics. They're not attending political meetings if they're late or night, or if they're not certain of their security. I don't think it's any, you know, it's worth saying Kieran Cannon was present the night of a very serious incident that also involved Anne Rabbit TD. Mm-hmm. You know, it is affecting how people interact with voters. It's also affecting the candidates that are coming forward. And it also, you know, we see that there's a growing anti-politician and anti-political system sentiment, which is not necessarily rooted in reality. So we do this research after every election. And in 2020, 50% of people that we surveyed told us that politicians do not care about the people. 60% said that most politicians only care about the interests of the rich and powerful. I mean, these are sentiments, but they're not borne out by other research, which shows that overall, actually, Ireland has a pretty high-performing political system, and there's a lot of interaction between voters and their public representatives. So, yeah. I mean, there's a mismatch here, but I also think it's a global phenomenon, and we have to be aware of that too. And it's something that's taken very seriously in other countries, not least our near neighbour, where two members of parliament have been murdered in the last decade. You know, Lindsay Hoyle, the Speaker of the UK Parliament, has been speaking, you know, he's talked extensively about this. And, you know, his counterpart here in Ireland, Seán O'Farrell, is taking it very seriously, we see with this Dáil task force. So it's really significant in terms of how it's affecting politics.
Yeah.
And it's a part of a global trend.
I just wonder, is there any way of putting the genie back in the bottle here? Because does an awful lot of this happen online? Is a fervor whipped up online that maybe the tech companies need to look at? Or is that even possible, Teresa, I wonder?
I mean, undoubtedly, there's a role for the tech companies here in terms of being much more proactive when material is reported to them, ensuring that it gets taken down, you know, suspending or cancelling the accounts of people that are involved. But it's too easy, you know, to think that this is simply all a consequence of, you know, online activity. There's a real politics of frustration, anti-politics, that comes from kind of much wider problems that are probably rooted in kind of social inequality and wider questions of social change. So the tech companies are part of it, but there are a lot of other deeper roots that I think need to be more substantively addressed. And you know, blaming the tech companies probably will get us so far, but not a robust
and
what,
maybe
kind
it's
of
a little bit
solution.
Superficial. Well, I spoke with Anne Rabbit on this programme about that incident that Teresa mentioned. And the fear, isn't it, Pauline, is that something far more serious and far worse would happen to any elected representative, without diminishing in any way the abuse or the threats that all of you have outlined. But should action be taken now before anything happens that we could regret?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really conscious that, you know, when I started on the show, I was saying that I rarely speak about this. Mm-hmm. Most of us don't report things. It's partly because, you know, you know you probably don't get a massive amount of sympathy from some people. But I do think it's important now to have the conversation, because there's been such a ramping up. Now, I would have to say, I do think that technology is a massive, massive contributor to this, because I think things spread very quickly. I've certainly known of, you know, people's homes being put up on social media, and not just on the ones that we would know, you know, the daily ones like X and so on, but other ones as well, where it spreads quite quickly, that the, you know, people are encouraged to attack people, and we don't know when that will shift. And again, partly the reason that we don't speak about it is also because you don't want to be a target yourself. But somebody does have to say it. Mm-hmm. And as you said, it goes across every political party. And I think we should be worried about the impact of social media.
Okay.
We need to have a bigger conversation about what's acceptable and what's not acceptable.
Okay, we'll leave it there for the moment. Senator Pauline O'Reilly of the Green Party and Dr. Teresa Reedy of UCC, thank you very much indeed. 51551.